who you are, sweetheart.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo.
To the near post, Messi to the net. Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Pantanita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from the Grove at Discovery Green for the launch of Gal Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is Soccer Matters. On ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a couple of things to remind you. Those were our good friends, La Gio Ciamba, who did that. That was their new song, La Futura. So thanks to Coffee and Gio for sending me over the ability to put that music on the show here tonight. We have always supported Houston music, and those guys are as passionate as they come. They love the game of soccer, so we appreciate that. We are down here at the Grove, Discovery Green. Big day here today for Gal Media with the launch of automotivemap.com. Our good friends from Advantage BMW, Justin is here tonight, and Sheena as well, so a big thank you to them. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. If you want to call in, join our roundtable right now, 713-780-3776. Tomorrow, Tab Ramos will be introduced as the new Dynamo manager. This looks an excellent hire, and it looks like a more extensive search has taken place this time. Remember last time it was a choice between former Dynamo Wade Barrett, Wilmer Cabrera, after Owen Coyle left. But it was time for the Dynamo to get their managerial position correct here. This is a man who can become an inspirational leader here. It's a man who's going to work with the press. Look, you've missed five out of the last six playoffs. There's nowhere to go but up for the Houston Dynamo. They should be lauded for the choice of Tab Ramos. He checks the boxes at a lot of levels. What I like about him, he's a no-nonsense guy. He's done it at the youth level. He's run a youth club. He's been an under-20 national team coach, assistant to Jurgen Klinsmann, played in a number of World Cups, played in Spain, played in Mexico on loan with Tigres. But what we do have to realize and honor, and this is a good thing, nobody should take this in a bad way, you, the fans, helped elicit the change here. There is no doubt you have helped elicit and bring to the attention of the organization in a very positive way that you want more. And I think it's a great thing. And it's brought us most high-profile manager in a long time. And Tab Ramos thoroughly deserves this opportunity. He's excited about the Houston market. He's researched it. He's got an interesting staff that he's hired now with Omid Namazi, who is a very, very good coach. Also, Pablo Mastroianni. That kind of came out of nowhere for me a little bit, and I'm going to ask Eddie and the guys about that in a second. But I think Tab Ramos realizes that this is unrealized potential down here. This is a market that has tons of youth soccer players that can potentially be Dynamo players. It is a market that is soccer educated. Now, one doesn't think he took this job without getting some assurances there's going to be more spending for players. We're hearing that. We're hearing that three or four players are going to be added. We don't know the dollar amounts. I am going to ask John Walker, the president, that very question in the final segment of the show tonight. He will be on, the president. We've heard the rumor around Darwin Quintero possibly coming here from Minnesota United. The Dynamo certainly need a talented right back right now that can defend and go two ways. Who stays, who goes, we don't know. We don't know the contract situations on all these players. So it makes it hard for us to kind of predict on the outside. I wish there was more openness and transparency around that. All right, we welcome you back right now. Ian Veary of the Liverpool Supporters Group, Bob Pennington of Manchester City, Eddie Robinson of Cube, former Houston Dynamo defender, also the assistant coach for the Houston Dash. We do need to give them a shout-out. So, Eddie, right away I'm going to go to you. Tab Ramos. There is a lot of excitement. Your thoughts?
Well, you already mentioned the first thought I had when I saw that he had been hired was this man has been very successful with the Federation at the youth levels. He has a very cozy job. makes very good money. So I tried to figure out, why did he take this job? He was obviously offered it. He didn't. I don't know if he came to the Dynamo. I'm not sure. I don't know all the details. But one of two things came to mind. Number one, Ernie Stewart told him, hey, we'd love to have you as coach of the U.S. national team, but in order to do that, you've got to coach every day, and you've got to get to know the U.S. players. That's number one. Number two, there's absolutely no way Todd Ramos is taking this job if what you said a minute ago is not true. He's been promised some money for players. Not ticky-tack. He's going to be able to go out.
And I guarantee you he asked for it, too.
And do...
He wants to succeed here.
And do what LAFC has done. Do what Atlanta United has done. Do what some of these teams... Get some big players in. Because, as you said, the fans, they're hurting. They're leaving. And for justifiable reasons. I've been saying it for years. This is struggling. We need to change something. And now they go and do this, and they get Todd Ramos. Absolutely outstanding. I just want to know what he's been promised. I want to know what things.
Yeah,
I want.
You bring up an interesting topic because, look, what happened in New England. Bruce Arena comes in, new training facility. Gustavo Bow comes from Tijuana. The question is, you're talking about, you said Seattle. Do you think the Dynamo are going to spend that kind of money on a Raul Ruy Diaz?
I don't know.
Pete Martinez.
I don't know.
But it's a possibility.
But the problem with the Dynamo over the last 3 to 5 years has been transparency. There's nothing. When you sit and you ask serious hard-kitten questions, you get cliche answers. Tomorrow, there's a press conference to introduce Todd Ramos. John Walker will be there. Matt Jordan will be there. I want people to ask these questions, and I want those guys to answer these questions honestly. Yeah. Are you going? You don't have to put a number on it. We're not. You don't have to say we're going to give him $20 million to go out and buy three players. You don't have to do that. But you say, yes, we have committed. Our owners are committed. James Harden has come in. We're going to spend money. We're going to buy some players. The one thing that bugs me a little bit is this focus on youth development, because they said it with Owen Coyle and they said it with Wilmer Cabrera. Right now, you don't need to focus on youth development. Your only focus, get the Dynamo in order. You have to get the Dynamo in order.
But isn't youth development part of getting the Dynamo in order?
Not right now.
We are Houston,
Texas. Not right now, because the Dynamo Academy doesn't bring in any money. They don't make money.
It's not bringing any players in either.
Exactly. But until the Houston Dynamo are winning games and they are making the playoffs on a regular basis, that should be your only focus, the first team.
Doesn't every MLS team in the league say, hey, we're focused on youth development? Every team does.
Well, at least the teams that are winning and the teams that are building schools, look at what Philadelphia Union have done. Look at what Toronto FC have done. Okay, and Houston Dynamo aren't going to do that in this foreseeable future. I don't, right now, personally for me, I want Todd Ramos and Matt Jordan to focus on getting the Dynamo back to where they were when I was a player. An intimidating team that doesn't lose at home, that can get points on the road when they need to, that are always in the playoffs and that are always scrapping for spots in the playoffs.
So let me just ask you this. But isn't getting the Dynamo in order, getting the youth side of it in order too?
Eventually.
I mean, I know there's a lot of hard work going on
eventually
there with Paul Hollicker.
I mean, how long does Paul Hollicker, he's working his tail off.
But every day that goes by is a day to improve.
Okay, so are we going to wait 5 years for the Dynamo Academy to send players and those players to develop? Or are we going to do this now and then bring those along and integrate them?
We can't do both?
I don't think so.
I mean, Todd Ramos...
Because our organization is not going to invest that much. I don't think that you can do both halfway. You've got to do one.
So are you telling me that you don't see any potentials coming through the system right now?
I don't know. I'm not part of the academy anymore.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But until the Dynamo are winning, the fans aren't going to be happy. The fans, honestly, and unfortunately, this is the way it is, they're not worried about the academy, the success of the academy.
I would beg to differ. There's a lot of fans who say they want to see the academy thrive.
Why
because
they out of games every
they weekend? They want Houstonians involved in this team. They want locals that are actually playing for this
team.
So why
aren't they out at games every week and supporting
the team?
Well,
that's a whole different question.
If they're that interested in it and they're that engaged, then that's what it should be.
Because they're not winning, like you just said. Yeah, I agree with you 100%
on that. The first team has got to be winning.
I mean, can you say in I can't say definitely that the Houston Dynamo Academy has the best players in the Houston area. I can't say that. I don't know. I'm not involved. That's a question for someone else. But right now, if the Dynamo first team is not winning games and not engaging fans and not bringing fans, not selling out every weekend, that has to be your focus because that's where your money comes from. Then you start making more money. You can invest more money in the academy.
Remember 2 years ago when they got to the Western Conference Final, they scored a boatload of goals at home. Did nothing to affect the attendance. Nothing.
Because
that tells you something.
Because it's not consistent. Go back and look.
Except for the conference final, it did very little to push the sport forward
from
here. So
2006, 2012, it was consistent.
That's my point. Yes, you have to win. That's a part of it. That's not solely the only answer to turn this thing around. That's a big piece of it. I agree 100%. I think this manager will do that. You have nowhere to go but up, Ian, because you have not made the playoffs 5 out of the last 6 years. So there is excitement. But Todd Ramos does have a bullseye on getting into the playoffs. But we would be remiss not to use his talents mixed in with Paul Holliker and everybody else
saying,
when it comes to youth development.
I'm not saying don't use his talents. What I'm saying is get the Dynamo on the right track, then focus on that. There's no reason why, because if he gets the Dynamo on the right track, our organization is going to say, you got the job for a long time, brother. We want you here. You've been awesome. Now, help this. Get this sorted.
Well, I think Paul Holliker, if he was here, he would say, we're trying to get it on the right track
right
now,
that.
And we're not going to stop doing that.
I don't doubt that, but without the support.
Well, winning always helps your academy.
Everything.
No question.
Everything helps.
Winning helps the academy. Also, putting players through to the first team helps your academy as well. Anyway. Okay, let's move on. Single elimination playoffs. MLS instituted it. Let's go with you, Ian. Have you enjoyed it?
Loved it. So much more exciting games. Non-stop action. I think it's the way to go. It was almost, it reminded me of the English FA Cup, where it's like all or nothing. You just play one game and that's it, rather than this, oh, what's going on here? And then that, it just, for me, it was definitely the way to go. The games were sensational.
Yeah, and it's shortened the season. Here we are. It's the MLS Cup final on Sunday. What about you, Bob? You like the single elimination?
From a fan's perspective, absolutely. Every game matters. I mean, simply put.
Yeah.
You know, we show up and we see a winner or a loser. I mean,
yeah. Eddie and
the intensity for me, and that's what it was as a player. It was just a different level of intensity. Yeah. The season can get monotonous, but when it's on the line, it's either win or go home. Your season's over. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. I think it's fantastic, and I cannot wait for this game on Sunday.
You know what I love?
Likewise.
I love the elimination of all those cautious first legs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That, to me, was setting back the MLS product. If we had to sit through all these first leg matches that 90% of them were boring, they were cautious, coaches were keeping it close so that we were playing for the second game. I thought that was always a bad advertisement for the league, and you've swept that stuff right out of there, and to all of your points, you've turned it into something exciting. Yeah. There is a winner, and there is a loser, and you're a loser, whether you're LAFC and had all the points in the league. Seattle comes in with a great plan, knocks out LAFC.
Oh, that was a cracking game as well. End-to-end excitement.
All right, let's talk about that because, we got a minute here. All right, instead we're going to throw it a break. Eddie Robinson here, Ian Feary, and also Bob Pennington. Ian Feary with the Liverpool Supporters Group, Eddie Robinson with the Cube, Houston Dash assistant coach, former Dynamo defender, you know him very well, and Bob Pennington, the chairman of Manchester City Football Club, Houston Space Citizens. And Bob, it's good to meet you. We were wondering if there was anything out there, Man City, if you nouveau riche were really existing here in Houston, and we found that you have.
We have.
You guys
and
got deep pockets at City.
Well, I'm surprised. Glenn, anybody that knows or loves anything about soccer, Glenn knows them all in Houston. So this is the first time you guys are meeting as
I think it's awesome. And I think what's even more awesome is that, City's here now. We've got and I've gotten to meet, and I know you have too, Eddie. We've gotten to meet all these great supporters groups and the passion that's around
these. I'll tell you what's awesome. What's awesome is the effort that you put in to go out of your way to meet all these people and bring them on your show.
That's what the
show's
for.
And get all of these different opinions. That's what I think is awesome, Glenn.
Show
Bravo to you.
Show was designed to give a platform to people in the community as well. Nobody wants to listen to one person for 2 hours. That's for sure.
Well, soccer, your silky voice.
That's why soccer matters. All right, we're going to take a break. Yeah, it does suck tonight. That's for sure. I'm glad you pointed that out.
No, I said silky.
Oh, I thought you said my sucky voice.
No, your silky voice.
Oh, come on. Hey, who says we don't do comedy
silky
on the show?
Silky voice. That's why you're doing the World Cup.
All right, somebody hit me up, Glenn Davis Suck, on Twitter. Did Eddie say silky or sucky?
I said silky.
He said
I really
silky.
Silky know.
Voice, thank you.
Victor Reiser's over there. He says you said sucky.
Victor can't hear.
All right, we're going to take a break. And this is that was our comedy segment here. Coming back with more great fun here with Eddie, Ian, and Bob. We'll take a break here. More to come on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, including an interview later on in the show with Dynamo president John Walker on all things Houston Dynamo.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Grove at Discovery Green for the launch of Gal Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, I had somebody ask me if I actually picked all the music, and I will proudly say I usually do.
He does.
And I did. So tonight we had a good list here. La Futura from Gio Ciamba, London Calling, The Clash, When My Train Pulls In, Gary Clark Jr., Hotel Parallel, Alpine Stars, Play the Fool, Rival Sons, which I think we just heard, and I think we'll have something from Johnny Cash coming up. All right, if I said to you guys one song, your favorite song, that you wanted to hear on Soccer Matters for break music, I'll start with you, Bob. What would it be?
April Wine, I Like to Rock.
Okay, April Wine, I know that band.
Paranoid, Black Sabbath.
Ooh, that's a good one. Eddie.
Does it have to be rock?
No, it can be whatever music it could be. I believe you're going to think, you're going to probably say the Rachmaninoff or somebody classical, right?
Well, unfortunately, you can't sing along to that. Okay. I would probably go
with von Beethoven.
I would probably go with maybe George Strait. All My Exes Live in Texas.
That's a good one.
There we go.
I like that, Eddie.
Maybe some Alan Jackson. I've got plenty. We could go on for hours.
Yep, Alan Jackson. So you like traditional though. I don't think you like the crossover pop as much.
I don't. You're correct.
All right. I want to stick with you right now. Eddie Robinson's here, Ian here, Bob here, supporters groups in Houston, Texas. I'll go back to you, Bob. I want to start with Manchester City. How did the group form? How did it get going? And
about 5 years ago. We had a couple folks, 5-6 years ago, about a couple folks get together, say, hey, let's go watch some soccer. And then it built from there. This is our first year of actually being recognized by the mothership. We beat the deadline, and we're actually the recognized group here in Houston.
All right, so I gave you a little, I made a little fun of the nouveau riche and the nouveau rich in Manchester City. And Ian's over there shaking his head, yes, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you guys get a little bit of stick for that?
We do, but in light of things, I mean, we kind of put ourselves as the New York Mets of Manchester, right? You got the Yankees, and you know being United, and we're kind of the Mets of
that might be changing. Let's keep an eye.
Well, you know, good point. I mean, recent history, but I mean, the Mets have been good at times.
Right.
So time will tell.
Ian, when you look upon other Premier League teams, and you look at City, and we know how Manchester United looks at Man City. And it's not like you guys aren't spending money either.
We spent a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we just reinvested the Coutinho money. I mean, we didn't. Anyway.
Yeah. How much was Virgil van Dijk again? Remind me.
Oh,
75.
And you're going to get a return on that investment.
Oh, well, I think we already did.
Have.
We already did. I think that's what made Harry Maguire go for 80, because van Dijk went for 75.
Which
so they had to
shocking.
Make sure that Harry Maguire went for 80.
But
so.
My good friend Tom Clare always says whenever anybody... is selling players and United's interested, they jack it up just based on the fact that they know what they're worth.
Absolutely. Yeah. It happens all the time. I mean, that, to be honest, the player prices now are just insane.
It is.
You know, if you got like Real Madrid or Barcelona going for a player, you can just double the price, basically. And I mean, I think Liverpool have sort of, for a while, have been able to still do some good business. But now I think, you know, it could be starting to happen a little bit more there as well. Because it used to in the past with us, but we've been quiet for a little while. But
we invested
some really, really good money on some not so well-known players or players that had previously failed in the Premier League, and they've been, just been sensational because of Klopp.
Robertson and Trent Alexander, the two. I mean, when you consider what was spent on those two guys,
yes,
and how they came into this team and how good they are, it's unbelievable, really. Yeah. Those two.
Yeah, $6 million.
Unbelievable.
For Robertson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean worth every. What was he, the third assist leader last year in the Prem, I think, behind Hazard? It was Hazard, and then Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think, for all time for assists last year. So, money well spent.
Most assists like in the league between two outside backs. Yep. And by the way, what was it, $6 million, you said?
Yeah, I think for Robbo.
I think you went for $7 million once, Eddie.
$7 million.
No, $100 million.
$700 million.
$700 million. And that was a bar tab, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, I won't even tell you what my first
money
contract was because it's utter embarrassment. Yeah. But who cares?
Most despised team in the Premier League, is it City? Because of their wealth of riches and Pep and
that's
that
a good
whole thing.
Question.
I mean, I got a lot of friends who
probably
who are
I would think
down on City, and I got a lot of friends who love City because just the football is ridiculously beautiful to watch.
Well, Guardiola is just a good coach. He is. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, I mean, you look at Sterling from when he left Liverpool to the player he is now. I mean, just dramatically different, to be fair. You know, I mean, he looked pretty decent for Liverpool when he was like with Suarez and Sturridge for that season, where they just really had a go. But it was the defence that let us down that year. And this year, you know, again, the defence is more solid. We've talked about a little bit. We've been a little bit leaky, but we're definitely overall in a much better place this year.
Eddie, who do you think's the team in the Premier League that most kind of brings out angst in people? Because, you know.
We were actually talking about this during the last break because I have no allegiance to any team in the Premier League. Yeah. I never have chosen. I'm the absolute neutral. For me, the one team that I disliked the most, and it was because of their manager, it was when Jose Mourinho was at Chelsea.
I'm with you.
And I think they're just getting out of that cloud now, now that Lampard's there.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness, what a job he's doing.
Yeah. They're some good fortune today, obviously, but that was the team that I rooted against every time, even though I have no favorite. I didn't care who they were playing.
I'm with you.
But the way that he acted and the way that he behaved when he was the manager at Chelsea just put me off. It left a bad taste in my mouth, so I rooted against them. And only now that I'm thinking about it do I feel like that cloud's going away, and knowing that he's stated that he wants to get back into managing. There's obviously the Bayern Munich jobs come open. There's rumors about Barcelona job. Now, what about Ernesto Valverde after the draw today? Well, 0-0.
In my opinion, he needs to go, but Mourinho's not.
Barcelona.
For the love of God, understand what Manchester United did, you know, when they got Mourinho, right? Well, here's a team that's based on wingers, attacking football. They bring Mourinho in. It's a nightmare. I mean, everybody saw that. It wasn't going to work. So here's the thing I say about Chelsea, and this is what I love about Chelsea. And sometimes circumstance that just happens.
The transfer ban was the best thing that happened to him.
Exactly.
You just took the words right out of my. That's okay.
Oh, you thief.
You're on the no. You're on the same track. That is the best thing in my opinion as well. I agree with you 100%.
Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount just playing their socks off.
Because now he's got to play these young guys. And here's Lampard, who's done a wonderful job at Derby. He's worked with young players. You got Pulisic there. This is the most interesting Chelsea team to me in a long time.
Yeah.
And I agree. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head of him.
Yeah. No, and we talked about this, I think, on the first time on the show, because I was a bit nervous about Lampard, if you remember, coming from Derby, where they hadn't really made that big of a leap.
Right.
But he's done a sensational job, I think. I mean, they want to play for him, and you can see that in the way they're playing. I mean, they're excited. Last year under Conte, they were so boring. This year, there's exciting football. The young players, they want to get out and perform for Frank.
You mean on... Sorry.
Sorry, that's it. Sorry, yeah.
Conte before him.
Yeah. Sorry.
Where's Antonio Conte now?
Inter. Inter. Did you hear his press conference after the game today?
And Inter beat Milan. Tell me.
Did you hear his press conference after the game today?
Tell me.
He's sick and tired of answering questions that the directors should be answering. He's not getting the players that he wants. He's not getting the money that he wants. And he's about becoming vocal because they drew today, right? Didn't they draw 1-1?
Inter 2-2, wasn't it?
2-2. But they did draw.
Because they were 2-0 up against Dortmund.
And he is frustrated and he is upset, and I love it. And I'm frustrated.
Well, maybe Dortmund won, actually.
He definitely speaks his mind. All right, let me remind everybody who's here. We've got Ian Veary from the Liverpool Supporters Group, Bob Pennington from the Manchester City Houston Space Citizens. First time on the show, Bob. Thank you so much for coming down here tonight. We appreciate it. We're on the deck of the Grove here. It's absolutely beautiful. We're dwarfed by all the incredible buildings that are down here in downtown. Want to get into a couple MLS Cup final predictions? And why? Now we got 3 minutes, so each guy gets a minute. Eddie, I'll start with you.
I'm going with Seattle, not just because they're at home. I mean, that would be the easy reason, but when you look at Rui Diaz, Jordan Morris, Nicolas Ladero, that front three with Laurent Simon, Omar Gonzalez is probably out. I mean, you saw their difficulty last week dealing with the pace and the space behind the back four of Toronto. I think is going to be extremely vulnerable. On the other end, you've got Pozuelo, and you've got Michael Bradley, and then you've got
not a lot of pace up front.
You don't, but so you don't have press a lot of quality. I think that I think that Toronto, just the pace and the adrenaline of this game. Toronto hangs around in the first half. I think it's a close first half. It could be a one-goal difference in favor of Seattle. It could be 1-1. But in the second half, I think Seattle's quality in their front four shines bright, and Seattle wins 3-1.
Ian?
I think Seattle 2. Probably 2-1.
2-1. Bob?
Seattle. Strength of the attack, 3-1.
Yeah. So one interesting thing I bring up. Remember Seattle, and I don't think this is that big a deal, but it is something to consider because Toronto played the perfect game, and I think they're going to have to play that exact same game as they did against Atlanta United. They're not going to open themselves up. They're going to hope for a moment or two in the game, right? But remember, Seattle won their game to a degree, largely at times on the counterattack. Although they had moments with those guys that can play
Raul Ruiz Diaz, and if Michael Bradley is disciplined and sits and can stop Nicolas Ladero, that will tremendously hinder that Seattle attack. But if he gets caught out of position too much, Dunskis.
All right, gentlemen, a big thank you to all of you. This makes it, I want to tell you, the effort you made to come down here on a weeknight, everybody's got jobs here, but the fact that you come and you're that passionate about the sport and you're willing to come down here to talk on the show, I appreciate it. Bob Pennington, Manchester City,
thank you.
Ian Veary, Liverpool, thank you. And Eddie, I'm just going to wave to you from this side of the table. And
by the way, my man,
there is some controversy out there whether Eddie said I have a sucky voice or
silky.
a silky voice.
I've got two that are sitting beside me.
A couple
say
guys
I
told
said
me they said you said sucky.
Okay,
so,
who?
Next soccer matters poll right there.
Come on,
yeah, right.
Are they whistleblowers? Come on, tell me who they are.
All right, reveal yourself. All right, we're going to take a break here. More to come. Coming up next, John Walker, the president of the Houston Dynamo. Some really interesting stuff from John.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Grove at Discovery Green for the launch of Gal Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Back for a final segment down here at the Grove, down here on Discovery Green, as we thank you for tuning in here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for Tri-Eagle Energy. Now, if you're shopping for electricity rates, it can be, it's a painful experience. Let's face it, it's the truth. Tri-Eagle Energy, though, is going to make it easy for you. They're born and raised in Texas. That provides simple fixed rates. This company, you'll pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. So there's no hidden fees. It is very easy. You sign up in a process that's simple. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. You're going to receive a weekly usage update so that you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. Lock in your rate for 12, 24, or 36 months. Avoid rate hikes and lock it in now. Try Eagle Energy. They're going to keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. And they're also offering a discount for our listeners, so simply use promo code ESPN when you sign up. Now, what are you waiting for? It's an easy decision that can make you feel good about it. Call them, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT, hashtag 10064. Thank you, TriEagle Energy, for supporting soccer on the radio here on ESPN 97.5. And I know a lot of Dynamo fans waiting around for this final interview. We are joined now by Dynamo president, John Walker. Well, John, with the hiring of Todd Ramos, now the staff that he's put together with Omid Namazi and Pablo Mastroeni, there is a real buzz now around Todd Ramos coming in and being the inspirational coaching leader of the Houston Dynamo.
There really is. We couldn't be more excited to have him. We're introducing him to the local media tomorrow in his first official press conference. The guys he's bringing on to the staff have a great deal of experience. We've gotten tremendous reaction from our fans. A lot of good things being written and talked about on social media. So there's a lot of buzz, certainly.
You know, what's the door of possibility that now opens up with this big hire here with Tab? Because, you know, he is somebody that everybody in the U.S. soccer community knows. We know a coach alone is not going to change everything on and off the field. What other possibilities occur now with this type of a hiring?
Well, certainly, you know, we know that Tab brings sort of an innate audience of folks who followed his career and playing for the U.S. and MLS, you know. So he's recognizable, he's noticeable, and people are going to be paying attention to what it is that we do and how we play as a club. But I think, you know, from an overall club perspective, he's going to be he and Matt and Gabriel, myself, we've already met several times on the roster, and some things we can do to put ourselves in position to make the playoffs. I mean, that's ultimately the goal of our club every year. We need to be a contender. We need to be in the playoffs every year. This was such a disappointing season after such a great start that, we have reason to be optimistic because the team on the pitch, although the record didn't end up being what it is that we'd hoped it would be, you could see that they have some skill, they have some promise. Tab's already put down a wish list of players that he'd like to, take a look at. And so there's an awful lot going on the technical side.
Talking to Dynamo president John Walker, very busy in the off season, probably just as busy as you were during the regular season. I guess the one question that really comes to the minds of Dynamo supporters right now is, will Todd Ramos have additional resources to go maybe get a couple of players that he's very interested in? And, you know, we've already heard the rumor of potentially Darwin Quintero coming down from Minnesota. So things are buzzing around. But, you know, was part of the condition of his contract and desire to come to Houston that he gets additional resources?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a condition necessarily, as I think it was a mutual understanding that, you know, we know in order for us to improve, we're going to have to do some more investing in the club and in the guys on the roster. So he acknowledged that, you know, we as a club and ownership acknowledge that. And so those are the conversations we're having right now, is how do you bring in the right pieces? It's not just about bringing in more expensive pieces. It's the right ones to make us competitive.
Yeah, those are the things that get everybody excited. And I know you guys are doing a lot of work with the supporters group. Creating a larger scale supporters group. I think El Batallón, the Texian Army, have done wonderful jobs over the years. I do think they like being, in some ways, a small, tight-knit group. How do we maybe produce, let's say, a Timbers Army, where you have all these other subgroups underneath? Is that the goal for the Houston Dynamo?
It absolutely is. You and I talked about this, I think, the last time we were together. And, you know, we've we've been very fortunate in that the leadership of both El Batallón and the Texian Army have sat at the table with us several times here towards the end of the 2019 season and into the off season, and are helping us put together an alliance of additional participants in the supporter section. And we're still in the early stages of what that's going to look like, but there's involvement from both of the existing supporter groups. They are having a say in how this is going to go. We're trying to guide them with some of the best practices that you've seen in Portland and LAFC and other places. But that's absolutely a focus of ours, is to grow that supporter section, because it just adds so much to the ambiance of an MLS game.
John, what are some of those additional things that you're looking at that you see from, like, Portland and LAFC, what they do with their fan bases, that are best practices that can be employed down here to change the game day atmosphere?
Well, it's more bodies. It's more representation within the supporters area. It's greater involvement with the rest of the fans in the building on the ceremonial things that happen around a match, whether it's the chanting, it's the singing, flag waving, all those kinds of things. You know, our fans, although they're very rabid and very into the game, they don't participate as much in what's going on to support the supporters, and it's because I don't think we've given them the tools to do that. So there is a larger scale effort in the works on our game operations to include everybody in the stands into some of the things that the supporters are doing down at that north end. So you know, when you watch some of these other matches or you visit some of the other stadiums, everybody gets caught up in the chants and the cheering and all that kind of stuff. And so we need to bring that kind of environment.
Yeah, that's exciting. On that line, does that mean more flags? Does that potentially mean flares and things like that that we see go on around the world? I know there's some restrictions at times on some of these things due to safety, but are those things that you're planning to incorporate?
Yeah, whatever it is that isn't spelled out that we can't do is on the table. Last year, I think MLS made a pretty hard stand on streamers, which some would argue took away from the experience. But there are certainly some other things that we can do that, again, like we can copy from some of the other markets that can really be additive, I think, to everybody's experience and be safe at the same time.
So what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you want to kind of make this a little bit more of a celebratory environment, game in and game out, a little bit fun this environment up a little bit.
It absolutely has to be that. I mean, I think we get, we've done a lot of research, and people have a good experience when they come to the BBVA Stadium and come to Dynamo and Dash matches. We get pretty good marks. But, you know, when you visit some of the other markets, I had the good fortune of going to LAFC for our match there in late September, and the environment was so incredible, and they had everybody involved. You know, there were 27,000 people in the building. They were all standing, they were all cheering at the same time, and it was a real community feel, and I'd love to have that, at BBVA Stadium.
Talking to Dynamo President John Walker. By the way, you can go to HoustonDynamo.com. They do have a Houston Supporter Alliance group there. You can click on that. You can learn more about it if you want to become a part of it. It's a new era with Todd Ramos. It's exciting. He's got a great staff with Omad Namizi, who is a very talented coach. Pablo Mastroeni, also people know him from the U.S. World Cup team, former coach of Colorado. So there is a lot going on. Can you take us, and let me just give you an open slate here. Are there any other areas you can take us into that there's a lot of work being done that maybe fans can anticipate? I mean, I know you're still in the beginning stages of a lot of things.
Yeah, we're working on our marketing campaign. We're putting a little bit more meat on the bone for our community engagement efforts and our grassroots programming that we spoke about before. And, you know, we'll start that here in this off season, probably right before the holidays, and carry it through the season. This is a very much a planning time for us here, and you know, we're going through the budgeting process and all that kind of stuff just to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row. But we'll be able to point to things very visible without giving it away in the stadium, that are upgrades in the stadium, new marketing campaign, new kit every year. Obviously, in MLS, they roll out a new kit. This year, it'll be the black jersey will be unveiled after the first of the year. We'll have some new faces on the roster, no doubt. We have new faces on the coaching staff, and so there'll be it'll be a new look for the club, and I think a very positive one.
Yeah, very, very fresh, and it's more than just Todd Ramos and a new staff, which is obviously huge news, but it sounds as though there's a whole bunch of other things that are going on, and I know you and I have this conversation all the time because, you know, I'm in the media. How can we engage mainstream media more, and do we have any other ideas? Because it is a tough nut to crack, and obviously putting people in seats and winning is one thing that can help. We both know that, but are there other things as a club that can be done?
Well, I think that's one of the things that was really critical in the interview process for our new head coach was the, you know, not only the ability, but the willingness and actually wanting to be, dialed into the community and to the local media. And, Tab certainly fits that bill. He has experience working in the media. He has spent a good, better part of his career promoting the game. And he's come to town and really wants to be a part of it. So that, I think, in and of itself, you'll see him. He'll be very visible. He won't shy away from interviews. He's asked us to get him as involved in the community and things as more so than I think you've seen a coach here do for quite some time.
Tab Ramos, 53 years of age. We're talking to Dynamo president John Walker, and certainly these are exciting times for the Houston Dynamo heading into this. That in itself, I mean, that had to be a prerequisite for you. And to hear that from Tab, which, I mean, we were able to get him on the program last week when this kind of got announced that he was going to be coming here. And already you can see that he's going to be wonderful for the media. I got to think that's uplifting to everybody in the front office of a pro club.
It was a prerequisite. I mean, it was part of the boxes that needed to be checked in order to become our next head coach. Was to have that willingness, and not only from the coach himself, but of the players, and to make sure that our players know how important it is to be out in the community, to be visible, and to be good, you know, to be good citizens and good Houstonians. It's really important. These guys are role models. They really set the standard for a lot of the kids that are out there playing soccer today in the communities. And these guys need to be out there. And so that was one of the things that was a direct question of all of our candidates. And certainly, you know, the guys that we brought in have bought into that.
Well, listen, John, this is exciting stuff. This is great stuff. You touched on a number of things here. We look forward to having you on again in the near future. And you let me know and we'll get you on. Anything else you want to tell the Dynamo fan base before we let you go?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, Glenn, before we jumped on the phone here, how fortunate we are to be in Houston. It's such a great sports town, and I would just share with you that over the last 30 days, I've been very fortunate in that I've been able to be at the Dynamo match on October 6th when we beat LAFC in front of a sold-out crowd, you know, at BBVA Stadium. Followed that up a couple of weeks later by going to a Rockets home opener at the Toyota Center in front of a sold-out crowd. A few days after that, I was very fortunate and got to go to a seventh game of a World Series in front of a sold-out crowd, and followed that up with a football game with the Texans and the Raiders in front of a sold-out crowd. And there are a lot of markets that would kill for that kind of access to really great sporting events and to be able to support them the way the city of Houston does. It's really been phenomenal.
It is an amazing city, and I know you found that out, and that was a nice little schedule you had there. I would have liked to have been on that one also.
Yeah.
So that sounded like some fun times. Yeah. Well, I got a good one. I'm going over to Manchester to see two Manchester United games here in the near future. So we're going to come back and report on that. So that ought to be a good experience as well.
Sounds great.
Well, John, thank you so much. Thank you for all the great information. I know my listeners appreciate it. We appreciate you, as always, coming on the program.
You bet, Glenn. Thanks a bunch.
All right. That's John Walker, Dynamo president. A lot of exciting stuff coming from him there. That's a beautiful way to wrap up the show here tonight from the Grove. For all the guests that came on the program, thank you very much. For Andrew Carlson back in studio, Victor Ariza, thank you very much for tuning in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You can find the podcast of this, podcastarena.com, on iTunes. Don't forget, Houston, Texas, Soccer Matters.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.